All right, so we'll say good morning. Good morning, Lichtige Chanukah. Let's begin. First of all, a very special thank you to our breakfast sponsors. To thank the two Rosenblum Mishpachas, Shav Gedalia his Mishpacha, Josh and his Mishpacha, for dedicating and for sponsoring the breakfast this morning. A tremendous Yashar Koach. To thank the Ziffer Mishpacha, Rabbi and Mrs. Ziffer, for dedicating the breakfast this morning. And of course, a very special thank you, although I don't see him right. Oh, a very special thank you to our in-house chef, the Saeed. Preparing something. I see we've got all of the major food groups of donuts and potatoes. Good, Baruch Hashem, so fantastic. It's beautiful. The truth is, Saeed, thank you very much. You give so much of yourself. Thank you to our sponsors. Mirat Hashem, Yishabizocha, to always bring together the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. Torah. And Davak HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beautiful. We also thank our sponsors for this morning's Shiur, our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Kislev, Josh and Becca Friedman, for dedicating the Shiurim and Joshua's this month, Le'ili Nishmas Josh's father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafael, and Sammy Malka Esterson, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Joshua's of this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Le ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And with that, let us begin. We have an incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Samech Gimel. We are actually picking up on the bottom of Samech Beis, on Beis 62b, and we left off 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So if you remember, again, we left off with a really riveting machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, regarding what the concept of tumah blua, what happens if you have tumah absorbed into a utensil, and then ultimately again what occurs. And for the example that the Gemara gave is, I have an earthenware utensil. The truth is, it's really, the Gemara is referring to a bedpan, right? You have a bedpan that has absorbed fluids. You put that into an oven. So the shayla is, does the oven become tame only once it's fired up, or ultimately, again, even before it's fired up? So this is a machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan held that no matter what the absorption is, we only assume that the utensil emits its absorptions only once the oven is fired up. Reish Lakish says it depends on the absorption. In what he called mashkin kalim, or as liquids that go ahead and have a smaller or a lesser form of tumah, they only come out when there's heat. But mashkin chamurim, like the urine of a zav, ultimately, again, will be problematic even before. I'm sorry, I apologize. I know you're eating breakfast. I'll try to clean it up a little bit. I'm sorry. I apologize for letting learning interfere with the breakfast. I'm working on myself. I promise I'm going to be better. It's one of my New Year's resolutions. So I'll say so. So therefore, again, should there be any ritually impure objects that are absorbed within a utensil? So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Reish Lakish holds, that if it's of a, what we call a tumah chamura level, it's considered as if it has come out even without heat. So it says, the Gemara Esi, Reish Lakish raises the kasha to Rabbi Yochanan, kalabalu ashin yochal lotse star. So again, I'll say, this seems to be pretty clear. Here you have a brisa that says that what? Anything that is absorbed, that is unable to come out of the utensil, is tar. Now, both say that is the paradigmatic example of tuma balua. Tuma balua means tuma which is absorbed into something else. We saw different forms of tuma balua. Tuma balua could be tuma that is absorbed into utensil. It could also mean what? Tuma that is absorbed in an individual, or that's in a part of the body that's ultimately absorbed. So the Braisa says any tuma that is balua that cannot come out is tar. So the Gemara infers from this, Reish Lakish infers from this, ha-yachalot says tamei va'afagav bilo nafik. What you see from here is, it's only tar if it can't come out. But if it can come out, even if what? It didn't come out, you see that halacha lamaisa, it is tame. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi say that's a proof to Reish Lakish. Rapapa, no. Rapapa, Rabbi say qualifies it as follows. Kol heicha din yachalot says v'lo hikpid alav. If ultimately, again, it's the type of tumah that cannot come out, but it's also the type of tumah that a person is not makbid on. So divrei hakol tahar. Everyone agrees. Ultimately, again, it is tahar. Yochol lotzei sevheik bidalav. If the tumah has the ability to come out and a person is makbid on it, then what? Divrei hakol tamei. Keep ligi. Rabbi, say, where's the machlokes case? The yachal latzeis v'lo hikpid alav. So we'll say the machlokis case would be in a situation where the tumah is absorbed, it can come out, but a person is not makbid on it. Mar savar kevin yachal latzeis afagav d'lo hikpid alav. So we'll say one opinion holds that halacha l'maisa, since the tumah can come out, even though a person is not makbid, it's still problematic. Umar savar af al gav. The yachal latzeis. The other opinion holds that since it can come out, top of samach gimel im hikpid alav in ilo lo. Only if a person is makbid on it, ultimately, again, is it problematic. But if you're not makbid on it, it is not problematic. So I will say, so fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I will say, how do we paskin? The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, namely that halacha lemaisa, regardless of the form of tuma, if tuma is absorbed in something, that is called tuma balua. That is called absorbed tuma, and does not pose a problem until when? Until it is physically extracted from the item into which it is absorbed. So we'll say, so again, the halacha essentially makes no distinction between mashkin kalin, mashkin chamurin, like Reish Lakish wanted to do, instead just accepts Rabbi Yochanan's premise. Beautiful. Ezurok tava. So we'll remember again, so the Mishnah, going back to yesterday's Mishnah, about the seven different types of detergents that go ahead and one has to subject a garment to in order to see if it's blood or if it's dye. So one of the items that you go ahead and you quote-unquote wash the garment with is raw saliva. Right? Rok tafa literally means raw saliva. So it says the Gemara. So what does that mean? Tana, kol shelo tam klumi ba'erev. So both say what that means is saliva that comes from you when you haven't eaten anything the night before. So we'll say it's morning saliva. Right? It's morning saliva, which is considered to be of a stronger intensity. So what he means, so what does that mean? So that's saying that ultimately, again, Shirashi says, Shafilu emesh lo tam klum. I will say that, meaning even yesterday a person didn't eat anything. Amar li Rava, mi katani ba'erev? Mi ba'erev katani. La fuki heichad dikadim va'achel. So I'll say the idea is that this is the saliva that comes from your mouth when you wake up in the morning before you ate anything. So before a person ate anything, that saliva, I guess, has a good... I don't know what the properties of that saliva are, but let me say again, it's stronger, and therefore, for the cleaning purposes, has a bit more kick to it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Arachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Rok Tafel. So what's another definition? What's Rok Tafel? Kol Sha'avar Alav Chatzos Layla Ubishena. So we'll say that's when you've passed midnight and you've been asleep. So apparently you went to sleep, you slept past midnight, you woke up, it's the first saliva that comes out of your mouth. Lememra de Bishena Talim Mel. So suppose this is interesting, because before you were saying it's dependent on what? Not eating. Here it sounds like it's dependent on sleeping. To which the one says, Bahatanan, Yosh, but yet we know, Yoshin Kalayom, Ein Zerok Tafel. If a person slept the whole day, Lemaisa again, that saliva doesn't have the status of Rok Tafel. Interestingly enough, Neyor Kal HaLayla, if a person was up all night, Hare Zerok Tafel. Ultimately, again, that is Rok Tafel. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that it doesn't seem to be a din in sleep. But interestingly enough, what does it sound like? What does it sound like it's a din in? Right? Sounds like it's a din in nighttime. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam b'misnanding. They both say, the case of nighttime, where it says that a person didn't sleep, he didn't sleep, but what he was called misnanding. So we'll say, what's misnanding? So misnanding is like, I guess we would say it like dozing. Dozing. Heichidam, so this is incredible. Moses says, what's dozing? So heichidam is namnim. Oh, Ravashi, nim below nim, tir below tir. I'm asleep but not asleep, awake but not awake. Dikari le va'ani. Right? If somebody calls my name, I'll answer. Below yodala dure svara. But I can answer my name, but don't ask me anything too deep. I will say, this sounds like the way a lot of people spend their days, right? In general, again, awake but not awake, asleep but not asleep, call my name and I'll answer, but don't ask me anything too complicated, right? But again, that's called misnanim. So the Gemara says, so I'm sorry, below yadala dure svara. If you ask me a basic question, but I can't give you any answers, I'll svara. Like, no deeper logic. V'chi mitkarulei mitkar. And if you remind me of something, I'll remember. So I'll say, so the idea over here is that if you're misnanim through the night, because that's a status of quasi-sleep. That saliva the next morning has the status of rok tafel. Like Tara, I'm sorry?
Like drasha time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. Good. Anyone else? Good. Tana, Hishkin Vishana Pirakas. Listen to this. What happens if a person woke up in the morning? Now, Bossy, this is actually a very interesting lashon. Hishkim, a person woke up, Vishana Pirko. Now, Bossy, Shana Pirko sounds like reviewing your learning, but it actually does not mean that over here. Shana Pirko means you conversed. Actually, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Hishkim Vishana Pirko, Hadibor. So what happens? A person got up and they started talking. So the Gemara says, Ein zerok tafa. So interesting enough, what you begin to see is as follows. It's sleep, it's an element of nighttime, and it's also not talking. You know, because it makes sense, once you talk, your salivary glands become more active. The idea of also, you could see, what's rok tafa? It's like first saliva. So once you begin to talk and the salivary glands are working already, the saliva loses its potency. So if you wake up in the morning and you start talking, it's no longer rok tafel. So the Gemara says, Vad kama, how much do you have to talk until it's not rok tafel anymore? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Elazar, Kol Sheyata Rov Diburo Shashalosh Shos. I will say, this is incredible. If you spoke 51% of the amount of time that you would normally speak over 3 hours, that's called ultimately, again, speaking. So the idea, I will say, again, 3 hours representing a quarter of one's day. Essentially, if you did the majority of speech that you would normally do over the quarter of a day, then it's called already that you're talking and your rok no longer has a status of rok tafel. And I will say, you say to yourself, this sounds strange, like, why are we getting to such level of specificity? But remember, again, we'll say, all the other things in the Mishnah that are used as the cleaning agents for the kesem, ultimately, again, you could purchase. The pashtos, the one thing that you must self-generate is rok tafel, right? Is raw saliva. So that's why, again, the halacha must be absolutely specific as to what is the definition of rok tafel. So again, I need to produce this. So lemaisa, to know what it is that I need to use. And Rabbi, remember again, this there's between having a baget that has tuma because of kesem nida versus again just being treated as dye. So therefore, again, that's why you have to get into such specificity. Good. May greasin. So remember, again, the next part was literally, again, split beans. Le'isas greasin shalpul. Your Shabbos was, again, after the beans are split, separated from their chaff, they're chewed, to which they want to say, Reish Lakish. Rok tafel, sark shem kol echad ve'echad. So remember, again, Reish Lakish says that actually saliva is mixed with all of the other items. That Reish Lakish might say, whereas saliva might be one of the items that you actively clean the baguette with, you're also mixing saliva with everything else, which makes sense because some of these items are solid. I mean, crushed items, but solid. Remember, you're talking about laundering something. So therefore, again, Reish Lakish says saliva is mixed with everything. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe saliva is not mixed with the split beans, but rather, again, it's just the act of chewing them. And havla de puma means literally the heat of the mouth is what makes the beans more, split beans more potent. So the Gemara says, Masin lo Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not reflect the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say, Disanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, May Grisin, Roseach, Va'over Sheetin Lesocho Melach. So we'll say, what's Rabbi Yehuda says, what's May Grisin? So we'll say, interesting, Rabbi Yehuda says, essentially, May Grisin is split bean soup. Split bean soup, right? That's actually what the laundering agent is. But, Va'over Sheetin Lesocho Melach. But, it only works if what? If you use it before you introduce the salt. Or we're introduced to salt. Supposed to say, just as an aside now, if you notice, by the way, the Gemara used a very interesting lashon. The Gemara said, "Va'over sheitin l'socho melach." So we're saying before over means before you introduce the salt. To which the Gemara is supposed to say, this is incredible, by the way. This is Gemara Maseches Brachas. I know it doesn't quote Brachas over here, but it's Gemara Maseches Brachas as well. My mashma the high over lishna dak dumihu. We'll say, how do you know that over is a lashon of akdumi of before? Amra nachar bar Yitzchak to Amar Kra. Vayoratz Achimatz derech hakikar vayavar es hakushi. So Achimatz went ahead and ran by the kikar, derech hakikar, the plains, and he passed by the kushi. So you see over here that what vayavar means to come before. Amar Abayi mihocha. Abayi is another source. Vuhu over lifnehem. Right, another source. He went before them. He went before them. Both, right? This is by Yaakov in the parashas Vayishlach. He went before everyone else. We by same Mehacha, Vayavar Malcolm Lifnehem, Vashem Berasham. Both say a third pasuk of the Gemara in the Navi Micha. He went before them. He went before them, and Hashem is at their forefront. So both says he's here, the Lashon of Vayavar ultimately is a Lashon of coming before. So therefore, again, what it says, according to Rabbi Huda, the Megrisin is split bean soup before the salt is added. Meira Gaim Sheikh Mitsu. Next, what do you need? Fermented urine. So the Gemara says, Nuk Tamakame Chimutsan. How long does it take urine to ferment? Shloshi Yamim. Oh, 3 days. 3 days. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol shiur. So Bosse is actually very interesting. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol shiur chachabim b'ksamim tzarek shiur l'shiur. And Bosse, here's what's fascinating. Rabbi Yochanan makes an amazing statement. All of the shiurim that the chachamim give us by ksamim, which means, let's say, for example, over here, when we're talking about urine and other things like that, so the Mishnah says, one of the cleaning agents is urine. What's urine? Fermented urine. How long does urine need to sit before it's fermented? 3 days. 3 days. So Rabbi Yochanan just remarks that even now, we still need a shear for the shear. What does that mean? For example, the yelad o dezaken. For example, whose urine? Right? Is this the urine of a young man, urine of an old man? The isha, urine of a man, urine of a woman. Mechusim amagulim. When it was sitting for 3 days, ultimately, again, was it in a covered utensil, uncovered utensil? Bimasechai moseg gishamim. Ultimately, again, is it the winter urine or summer urine? Right? So the idea being that's what? That lemaisa. Again, it's just all the Gemara is pointing out over here is there are still more details to be filled in. But pashtos, it sounds like since the Mishnah did not qualify this, it sounds like what? All urine is usable over here, right? It sounds, now again, other situations you want, but it's now again, Rabbi Yochanan sounds like he's saying, no, there must be further details. But Pepashtos, the Mishnah seems to indicate to us, no further details. Next, V'tarach lekaske shalosh pam. So remember again, you're taking each of these items, and remember again, we saw, how are you laundering this garment? You're laundering it with each item one at a time. So the Mishnah said, V'tarach lekaske shalosh, you have to rub the garment with each of these items, 3 times. So that's the Gemara. Good kasha. By Rabbi Yirmiya, am tuyei vasuyei chad, ol dilma am tuyei vasuyei tarti. Well, listen to this. When you rub a garment, you go forward and backwards. Right? Is that the right? Like in Chassidus, it's Ratza v'shov. Right? Right? Forward and backwards. So we'll say. So the shaila is forward and backwards. Is that one? Like that was the technical term, right? Right? Forward and backwards. Is that one, or is forward one? Backwards too. We'll say it's big nafkamina. The Rishon Lezion says teiku. Eliyahu HaNavi will have to answer this for us. So we'll say. So therefore, again, now this teiku is not exactly so problematic. What do you do? Just do it back and forth 3 times, right? So lemais again. But we'll say. But you could see how lemais again. If you didn't do back and forth 3 times, so lemais again. It's a shaila. Ha'avir shlokasidra. So remember again, the Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa. If you went ahead, now remember. Not only are the particular elements necessary over here, but lamaisa, you have to also use them in the order listed in the Mishnah. And therefore, the Mishnah says that if you use these items shelo kisidron, o shehevir shiva samani ka'achas, or if you used all of the detergents, kind of you mix them all together and use it as one cleaning agent. So the Mishnah says lo asav lo klum, you've not done anything. Your actions are totally meaningless. So Tan Rabbanan hiktim shnayim l'rishonim. So we'll listen to this. So now we'll say, remember again, there are 7 cleaning agents listed in the Mishnah. Let's say you divide them into 2 different groups of 3 and 4, 4 and 3. It doesn't really matter. But the idea is you take the last cohort and you use it before the first cohort, right? So let's say you take the last 4, you use it before the first 3. So hiktim shniyim l'rishonim, says the Gemara, we have a machlokas. Tanichada shniyim alum lo, rishonim lo alum lo. So one brisa seems to say, ultimately, again, the second ones work, the first ones do not, which means Rabosai, the second, meaning, in other words, essentially, the second, we'll call it, we'll say, let's assume for a moment that you went ahead and you took the last 3 and you used them before the first 4. Right? So remember, there's 7 listed in the Mishnah. You're supposed to use them in order. Instead, you took the last 3 and you used them before the first 4. So one Brisa says, it's okay. Shniim alulo, rishonim lo alulo. So we'll say, therefore, the second ones, right, which is the last 4, will work. The first ones do not work. You'll have to repeat those. V'tani idach, another brisa says, Rishonim alulo, shniim lo alulo. The first ones work, the second ones do not. What's going on over here? Amrabai Tushabai says, no machlokes. Edi v'idi. Everyone agrees, shnayim alulo, velo rishonim. Both say, listen to this. Everyone agrees in that case that what? The second four will work. Right? The second four. Because also remember again, what did you do in this case? You took the last three and you used them first. So essentially what Abaye is going to say is like this. The first three are meaningless. Why? Why? You did them out of order. But the last four could count as what? As the beginning of the cleaning process. So the last four will count, but now you'll have to what? Repeat the last three again. So I say, Idri Dishnaim, Alulo, Velo Rishonim. Umay Rishonim, Rishonim, the Chesidjon, Shneigalav, Asr. I must say, and therefore again, the Breisa is just kind of simply saying it two different ways. When it says, Rishonim, Alulo, Shneim, Lo, Alulo, that means ultimately again, right? That means ultimately again, the second, it's just a different way of saying it. The first three that are really the last part of the seven do not count. And the second braisa is saying, Rishonim alulo, I'm sorry, Shneim alulo, Rishonim lo alulo, means that what? That lamaisa, the first ones used do not work, but the second one work, but the second ones used do work. So we'll say, so bottom line, essentially, the chiddush over here is as follows. If you take the last three and use them first, so therefore again, the last three will be meaningless. But when you use the first four, even though they're coming after what? After what? The last three, we look at those essentially as the beginning of the cleaning process, and you'll use the last three again. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. Call the Isha Sheish Lo Veses. So we'll say back a little bit to Vestos now. So any woman who has a Veses, we'll say remember a Veses as described as a regular cycle, Daya Shaita. So we'll say remember again, going back all the way to the beginning of the Masechta. Right? Daya Shaita. So we'll say Daya Shaita means what? Remember, how do we begin Masechas Nida? That's when a woman becomes a Nida, essentially what we have to do is we apply her status retroactively. That only applies if she's a Veses Sheina Kavua. And she does not have a regular cycle. If she doesn't have a regular cycle, we have to assume that what? That even though she sees blood now, what could have happened? What could have happened? It was there before. But now the Mishnah tells you that if she has a regular cycle, we assume that when she sees the blood is what? Is what? When the blood came. There is no need for any type of retroactivity. Says the Gemara, Kol Yishesh Laves, says the Mishnah, sorry. Kol Yishesh Laves says, Daya Shaita. Ve'ilu hina Vestos. And I'm about to say, here are the Vestos. Now remember again, the Mishnah is introducing us now to a new type of Veses. Up until now, when we spoke about Vestos, we always assumed we were dealing with something called Veses Yamim, right? A Veses of time. She sees every 30 days, every 60 days, once the same day on every single month, whatever it is. Now we're being introduced to a new type of Veses, which is called a Veses Haguf, which is essentially about say a Veses that is triggered by some type of physical occurrence. It's nothing to do with time. Nothing to do with time, but having to do with her body. You'll see, for example, Eilein Vestos, Mifahekes. They will say if a woman stretches, and as a result that induces nidus, me'ateshes, she sneezes, choseshes b'fi k'raisa b'shipulimea, she has some type of pains in her stomach, or on the lower abdomen, v'shofas, she flows. They will say, we'll see exactly what that means, u'kemin tzamarmoros ochzenosa, or she's seized by a fever, v'chol kiyotzeba, in any of these cases, they will say in all of these cases, what's happening over here is as follows, every time she stretches, she bleeds. Every time she sneezes, she bleeds. So we'll say, so what's the halacha in these kind of cases? The chol kiyotzei, or any time that ultimately, again, her nidos is preceded by something physical inside of her. What's the halacha? The chol shekava la shlosha panim harei zeveses. So we'll say, if any of these things occurs three times, she has established a veses kavua, what we call a veses ogov. So for example, if she's seized by fever and she becomes a nida, and this happens three times, so Allah says she establishes a veses kavua for fever. She sneezes, and three times again she sneezes, she becomes a nida. Every time she sneezes, she establishes a veses kavua for sneezing, so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, Tanina chada zimna, I don't think we spoke about this already, kol yishashesh la veses, Daya Shaita. We already spoke about this. Any woman who has a Veses, Daya Shaita. I also remember again our good old Daya Shaita days. Right? So again, ultimately, you need not apply any kind of retroactivity. We just assume that she, when she sees blood is when she becomes a Nida. Right now, we already learned this. To which Gemara says, but there's a difference. Hasan Bevestos Diyomi, Hacha Bevestos Digufa. Oh, we'll see. Here's a distinction. Beforehand, we were talking about what we call a Veses Diyomi, right? Literally, again, a Veses that is rooted in time. This Mishnah is introducing us to the concept of a Veses that is rooted in what? Her own physical body. They're independent of time. Independent of time, There's something that happens to her physically that induces the nidos. Kediktani elo investos haisem mefahekas me'atashas v'choshashas b'fikrisa obeshe puli me'av v'shafas. Good. So I'll say, so therefore, again, the Gemara says, you're right, we learned about Veses Kavua, but here's about a new type of Veses Kavua. We call a Veses Haguf. When a woman establishes a cycle of regularity that has nothing to do with time, but something to do with a physical occurrence. But also, I just want to point out, remember, the Mishnah's list is by no way exhaustive. In other words, a woman could be koveya, a veses kavua, for veses haguf, for anything that happens physically with a degree of regularity. So the Mishnah says, Shafas, and one of the things the Mishnah mentioned was, she flows. I will say, that sounds like the blood is flowing. Shafas, hashaf av azla. I will say, if she's bleeding, she's bleeding. In other words, why are you including that in the list over here? Ultimately, again, a veses haguf, to which the Gemara says, Amru l'b'rav Eli, what's the case? Amad Beis, b'shafas dam tame mitoch dam tar. We'll say, this is fascinating. The case over here the Mishnah is referring to is where the way her nidos begins, I will say, is it begins with blood that is not tame. For example, it begins with a flow of a color that's not problematic. I will say, just to give you an exaggerated example, let's say she flows blue. All right, now there might be bigger problems than nidos, right? So I was like, but let's say again, that is a non-tame color. But let's say again, the way it always works in her body is that what? She has a flow of blue emission that is always followed by dam nidos. So I will say, so what that could do is that could create a veses kavua that says what? That says what? Every time she sees an emission of blue, we know that what? Dam nidos is going to. So that's another example of a veses haguf. Ukamin samar moro. So also remember again, the other example that the Mishnah gave is if she's seized by a fever. So then the Mishnah said, and anything like this. Lasuya Marabo, so what else does this come to include? So again, Rabbi Rabula says as follows. Lasuya Isha Sherosha Kavira Vaverin Kvedala. So let's listen to this. For example, a woman who has a terrible headache. Now, Rosha Kavirala doesn't really just mean a headache. What it means is like a general physical fatigue. It literally means her head is heavy. So if a woman, before she becomes a Nida, experiences these physical symptoms, like she feels lightheaded, her head is heavy, her limbs are heavy, right? The general fatigue. Or Evera Kvedimala, also, literally, her limbs are heavy, which is also another form of physical fatigue. Virosesis, right? Virosesis also means she shakes. Or Gosa, she yawns. So obviously, it doesn't mean every time. The idea over here is there has to be an association. So we'll say, remember again, what's happening in these cases is she's experiencing these physical symptoms, and what's happening right afterwards, she begins to bleed dam nida. So what the Mishnah is telling me is you could establish a veses for these type of events. So if these events happen with some degree of regularity as defined by the Mishnah being three times, she could establish a veses, what we call a veses haguf, which is a veses, a regular cycle based on physical symptoms or physical realities. Amr Rafuna Rav Chiya Amr Shmuel, Hare Amru Liyamim Shnaim. So we'll say, comes along Rafuna, Bar Chiya, says name Shmuel, something dramatically different. When establishing a veses for Yamim, which I will say is the classic veses, whether that's a veses that she sees, right, she becomes a nida once every 30 days, or veses achodesh, the same day, every single month, whatever it might be, Shnaim. You only need two occurrences to establish that veses. Now, I will say, and the truth is, that's not such a chiddush, because why? Remember, again, I will say, normally we assume to establish a veses requires three times. Why? Chazaka. That's really what it is. Remember, by chazaka itself is a machlokas, if you need two times or three times to establish a chazaka. So the mice over here, Shmuel, is saying that for veses hayamim, only two times. Levestos. It's very interesting. What about a veses haguf, right? The vessels that we're discussing over here, a physical veses, right? That's established based on things that occur to our body. Incredible. Achos. Shmuel says even one time you establish a veses for a veses haguf. Pretty incredible. So the Gemara says, Lama shalomanu chacham shlosha, lemas shalomanu chacham. I'm sorry. So lemas shalomanu chacham shlosha. So lemas shalomanu chacham lasuye. My rabbi said, what does that come to include? What does it mean? Whatever the rabbis didn't require three, four, they didn't require three, four. What does that mean? Rabbi Yosef lasuye rosha kaved aleha, va'averim kavedin aleha, v'roseses v'gosa. So again, Rabbi Yosef says to include all of these cases.
To include all, look at Rashi. L'mashalom manu chachamim. Vestes shalosh chagbar le l'shmuel lam. L'mashalom manu chachamim. Mahi. Welcome Shmuel. Ani shamati kein l'mashalom manu chacham shalosh ava in yodema. So let's say, so interestingly enough, we have a statement of Rabbi Yosef that says that what? That halacha l'maisa, there are certain situations where the rabbis did not require three times to establish a veses. They will say, what don't the chacham require three times to establish a veses? Veses haguf. That apparently, according to Shmuel, a woman could establish a veses haguf even through one occurrence. Which Rabbi Yosef, if you think about it, is a dramatic chiddush, right? Because one time, anything could happen one time. But amazingly enough, Shmuel says, for a veses haguf, you could establish even after one time. Only Abai Mai Kamash Malon, Mas Nisin Hi. This is the Mishnah, the Aperisha Rabbi Bar Ula, El Amar Abai La Suye, Achla Shum Vera'asa, Achla Bitsalim Vera'asa. Both say, so Abai says it comes to include other cases. What are some other cases where she could establish a Veses Haguf? For example, she ate garlic and she became an Ida. She ate onions and she became an Ida. Kasasa Pilpulim, she chewed on peppers. Pilpulim are usually like a spicy type of pepper. Vera'asa, she becomes an Ida. So Amar of Yosef, Lo Shmiya Liha. Lo Shmiya Lo Hashmaisa, Rav Yosef said, you know, I never heard this, right? I never heard these halachas. Amalei Abai at Amrit Ni'ilan. So Abai says, you never heard it, you taught it to us. Vaha Amrisa Ni'ilan. And you taught it to us regarding the following situation. Haisa Limuda Lios Ra Yom Chamisha Asar. But also listen to this. If a woman was normally accustomed to see on the 15th day of the month, Vishin Sal Yom Esrim, and then she changed, right? She had a change in her cycle, and now she began to see on the 20th day of the month, Zeh v'zeh asurin. So we'll say, this is indeed an interesting halacha. If a woman has a veses kavua, to see, let's say, on the 15th day of the month, and then what happens? One time, she sees on the 20th day of the month. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Zeh v'zeh asurin. So we'll say, remember, again, in the following month, let's take a simple case. For 4 months, she sees on the 20th of the month. That's her veses kavua, right? In month number 5, she sees on the 15th of the month, right? So she remember. So right, 4 months, 20th of the month, that's her veses kavua. 5th month, she sees on the 15th of the month. What does she have to do in month number 6? In month number 6, what has to happen? So essentially, she has to be choshesh for both days, for her veses kavua, but also on the change date that she saw in the previous month. Zevaza surin, shalosh pamim liom esrin. What happens if lemaisa again? Did I mix up the days here? I'm sorry. I mixed up the days. And we'll say so again, one more time. So she establishes a veses kavua to see on day number 15. So we'll say, just for illustration, she sees, let's call it 4 months on day number 15. Okay, good, fantastic. Month number 5, she sees on which day? Day number 20. Now the shaila is, what does she do in month number 6? So what's the halacha? She has to be chosheshes for a veses kavu on day number 15, but also has to be chosheshes for day number 20, which is the day that she saw that she became an ida on the previous month. Fine. So the Gemara says, shalosh pamim. Zev zasrun. Shalosh pamim yom esrim. So we'll say, what happens if then she sees 3 more times on day number 20 and not day number 15? Then what? Hutu yom chamisha asar v'kavah le'o yom esrim. So we'll say, so in that case over here, that she saw 3 times now on day 20, we'll say, what happens? Her veses kavua changes. She now her regular period now becomes for day 20, and day 15 is no longer problematic. V'kavah le'o yom esrim. She'in isha kovas la veses ad she'tika avena shalosh pamim. Because ultimately, what? L'maisa, a woman does not go ahead and establish a veses kavua until ultimately, again, she sees 3 times on one date. V'amrit lan amr Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, zu devi Rabbi Gamliel Barabi. And I will say, Rabbi Yehuda said, Meshmuel, this is the fact of Rabbi Yehuda Barabi, Shar Meshmuel Meshmuel Gamliel, Abacham the Chachamim say, Av Chacham Omrim Rasa in Atzricha lo lishnos v'lo lishalish. So ultimately, again, once she sees, she does not need to repeat it a second time or a third time in order to establish a veses kavua. We said, Lishnos Amrit Lan, Lishalish Meboi. After you say that a veses is established even once, right through one time, do you have to say that she doesn't have to repeat it 3 times? Amrit Lan, Lishnos Bevestos. Right, but rather you said what it means is that halacha l'maisa, you need not go 3 times in order to establish a veses.
Rather, two times is enough to establish a veses. L'shalish b'yamim. But ultimately, again, when do you need three times? Only to establish a veses in yamim. For days. So remember, according to this opinion, what's happening over here is the chacham being mechalek and how to establish a veses kavua for days versus a veses haguf. That it's possible that in the worldview of the chachamim, that Allah chalamaisa, for a veses haguf, right, which is a veses that is brought on, bleeding that is brought on by physical symptoms, you may be able to establish a veses at a much lesser frequency, maybe even one time. Masha'inkim by veses hayamim, you may need two or three. To which the Gemara says, "Hakamashlan Shmuel de Rabbi Gamliel." Sorry, "Hakamashlan Shmuel de Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Kerab Shimon Gamliel severely." So we'll say, therefore, ultimately, and what does it come to teach us? It teaches us that halacha lemaisa, that if Shmuel holds that ultimately Shmuel says that Rabbi Gamliel Barebi holds the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, there is a fundamental dispute as to how to establish a veses kavua when it comes to different types of vestos. So we have a school of thought that says veses is always established by three occurrences. That's how vestos occur. Second opinion that says, no, it depends on the type of veses. Veses haguf, right? Veses haguf, which is what our Mishnah was talking about, could be established ultimately again even through one occurrence. It's a veses hayamim that requires two, and apparently nothing requires three. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokas. How do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch paskin, Rabbi say that all vestos require three. That's how we paskin. Vestos require three, and therefore whether that's a veses haguf, whether that's a veses hayamim, vestos are established and broken through the Rabbi Bosai. But this halacha by Hilchos Nida is actually an important one, which is even if a woman has a veses kavua, so Rabbi Bosai, for example, in our case, she always sees on the 15th of the month, and then on one month she sees on the 20th, in the following month, she will have to be choshesh both for her veses kavua as well as for what? As well as for this additional day. So again, anytime she sees on a day that is not her veses kavua, even though the veses kavua still remains intact. Remember again, a veses kavua is only undone when she actively sees three times on a different date. So veses is established the three times and only undone through three times as well. Incredible. Says the Mishnah. Haisa limuda lios ra betchilas havestos. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting case. So we'll say, continuing still on the topic of veses haguf. So in all of these cases where there's some type of physical symptom that is inducing her nidus, then I will say, now the common denominator in all of these vestos is that lamaisa, they span. Let's take the simple example of when she gets a fever before she becomes a nida. Right? So anytime she's seized by a fever, she then subsequently becomes a nida. So the fever spans a certain amount of time. Right? It's true, as we're going to see, even when it comes to when a veses hayamim, right? Let's say a woman sees on the 15th of every month, for argument's sake. So we'll say, so again, there's some span of time in that. So interesting, after the Mishnah says, "Haisa limuda liosra betchilas avestos." We'll say, let's say this woman was very regular. Not only does she go ahead and see every time she yawns, but when does she see? It's the beginning of the yawn, right? So we'll say, you know, like people who are like long yawners. There are some people you can go, you're like even like sound effects in that, right? So we'll say, so ultimately, let's say she becomes a nida at the beginning of the yawn. So right at the beginning of the yawn, betchila, right? Ha'isum lios ro betchila savestos kalat haros sheasta b'soch havestos tmeos b'sof havestos. So we'll say, now watch this. So we'll say, here's the interesting case. So she's beginning her yawn, and she's also dealing with Taras, talented lady. Right? So we'll say, so what happens? The Mishnah says, well, if she normally becomes Anida at the beginning of her Veses, then what? Any Taros she handled during the yawn will what? Will become Tameos. On the flip side, Bisofa Vestos, if Lamaisa again, she only becomes Anida at the end of the yawn, then what? Then ultimately any taros she handled during the yawn, kala taros shasta b'socha vestos, first wide line, tahoros. Ultimately going to be taros. I will say, you understand, I'm just using yawning as an example. This is true with any of what we call the vestos aguf, any physical vestos. Rabbi Yossi says, af yomim
v'sha'os vestos. Rabbi say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi comes along, and Rabbi Yossi says that halacha l'maisa, this is true even for yamim and sha'os. We'll see exactly what this means. But what Rabbi Yossi seems to say is this notion of the nidos setting in during a particular time during the veses is not just the din in vestos haguf, but this will also be a din in vestos hayomim as well. Haisalim, for example, haisalimuda lios roem and etzachama. But say, let's say a woman has a veses kavua that she sees, let's say on the 15th of every month with sunrise. So in regards, she's very regular. Eina asura eleman etzachama. Ultimately, you know, we'll say her status as being asura only comes in when? At sunrise. Now, we'll say, what's the ramification? Let's look at Rashi. Eina asura eleman etzachama, v'chala laila mishameshes. So listen to this. What that means is, if she, let's say she becomes nida on the 15th of the month with sunrise. So Rabbi Yossi says, what that means is, she is permitted to be with her husband the entire night before. Her prohibited status only begins at sunrise. And if she doesn't see at sunrise, she's permitted to her husband afterwards. You just assume that she's just, for whatever reason, not going to become an Ida. Rabbi Huda says, Kol Hayom Shela. Rabbi Huda says, the entire day is hers. Look at Rashi, what does that mean? Rabbi Huda Omer Kol Hayom Shela, Huteres L'Shamish Misha'avar Nesachama. So Rabbi Huda will agree that once sunrise passes and she does not become an Ida, she will be permitted to her husband. So the Gemara says, Aval Kol Alayla Shelefnei Nesachama, Shel Vesta Asur L'Shamish. Rabbi Hudol Rabbo say that what? That the entire night before sunrise, she is not permitted to be with her husband. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, Vasur L'Shamish B'Gemara Dahai Limuda Menetzachama Diktani Diregila L'Mechse B'Sofla. So we'll see exactly that Rabbi Hudol is actually technically referring to a different case. But interesting enough, what they seem to be saying over here is as follows. What it sounds like their machlokis is, although we're going to see this is not their machlokis, is if she sees with sunrise, so she's incredibly regular in that she sees, let's say, on the 15th of every month with sunrise. So Rabbi Yossi says, she's only prohibited at sunrise. But the night before, she's permitted to be with her husband. And if she doesn't become any that sunrise, she's permitted that day. Rabbi Huda says, I agree that she's permitted that day. If she doesn't become an Ida at sunrise, she's going to be permitted the rest of that day. But Rabbi Huda says, the night before, she will be Asura to her husband. Shabbos say, it sounds like they're arguing. We're going to see, in fact, that they're arguing. Rashi gives it away. Right? So see what happens over here. What the Gemara is going to say is actually talking about two different cases. Rabbi Yossi is talking about a case where actually her veses is to see on the 15th of the month at sunrise, with sunrise. So Rabbi Yossi therefore says her ona, right, the period in which she expects her nidos is sunrise. Therefore, the previous night is totally permitted. Rabbi Huda's case is actually where she's talking about a case where she normally gets her period at the end of the night, meaning right before sunrise. So if it's right before sunrise, Rabbi Huda says that what? That entire night before, she's going to be Asura to her husband. We both say, essentially, the principle that we're going to see that's coming out over here is, even let's say a woman is exceptionally regular, right? Exceptionally regular, which means, let's say for the heightened state of regularity, she sees on the same day of the month, every single month, always at a certain hour of that month. What you're going to see, Rabbi Huda, is still halacha l'maisa, that entire period of time, we call that ona, that period of time, she becomes prohibited. So Rabbi says, so for example, this would actually work best, let me say again with a different illustration. Let's say she always sees the end of the night of the 15th of the month. Always the end of the night, right before sunrise. So see right before sunrise, which means that what, she should be permitted to her husband when? When? Even earlier that night. She doesn't see. We say no. Even if she's incredibly regular and she only sees the end of the night, what we call the ona. It will say ona is a 12-hour period. There are two onos. There's a day ona, there's a nighttime ona, right? In halacha, remember again, day and night are always 12 hours. So the ma'isa again. So even if she sees at the end of an ona, right, halacha l'maisa, that entire ona will still be prohibited. When we see prohibited, Rabbi Yossi means that she can't be with her husband during that time. Says the Gemara Tana, Keitzan Rabbi Yossi, Yamim Vishos, Vestos. What does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says that both days and hours can be Vestos? For example, Haisa limuda lios roa miyom esrim, umishesh shos l'shesh shos.
Suppose, say, for example, let's say a woman is very regular. And what happens? She goes ahead and she becomes a nida every 20th day, literally again, 6 hours into the day. Higia yom esrim v'lo rasa. So I'll say, if the 20th day comes along and she did not yet become an ida, asura l'shamesh kol sheish sha'os. Rishonos de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will say that l'maisa again. So I'll say, let's assume for a moment that halacha l'maisa, she normally gets up within the first 6 hours of the day. So Rabbi Yehuda will say that when the 20th day comes, it's the 20th day, the first 6 hours are going to be asur. She can't be with her husband. Rabbi Yossi matir ad sheish sha'os v'chol sheshes b'sheish sha'os. Rabbi Yossi says the first 6 hours will be okay, but Lamaisa again, it's until the sixth hour that will be choshesh. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi really takes the concept of aveses kavua quite literally. And he will say that Lamaisa, if she is regular enough to see on the 20th of the month at the sixth hour, the only time she literally becomes permitted to her husband, Rabbi Yossi, is when? At the 20th of the month, sixth hour. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no. We're going to look at the ona, right? A certain longer period of time. Rabbi Yossi says, no, mamish, up until the time that she is expecting it, she is permitted. Avru sheish shos v'lo rasa. But lemaisa, what happens if 6 hours go by and she did not become a nida? Asura l'shamesh kol hayom kulo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says still she can't be with her husband that entire day. Why? Because what Rabbi Yehuda holds that essentially when a woman's expecting her period during a particular time, we asur that entire ona, right? That entire ona, that entire period of time. Rabbi Yossi Matir min ha-mincha ulamayla. And Rabbi Yossi says, ultimately, again, she is permitted, ultimately, when? Min ha-mincha ulamayla. Ultimately, again, from mincha time and on. In other words, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi will hold that halacha lemaisa, look at Rashi, min ha-mincha haymi mishesh sha'os lemaisa. So Rabbi Yossi says, remember again, mincha in this context means what? Midday. Right? Min ha-mincha ulamayla means from midday and on. Rabbi Yossi says, once the sixth hour has passed and she has not become an ida, we assume, you know, there's a statement that Chazal make, Chazaka, Oreach Bizmano Ba. Right? There's a Chazaka that the visitor comes at his appointed time. That Lamaisa, again, if she's so regular that she normally gets to the 6 hours, 6 hours doesn't come, ultimately, again, she'll be permitted after. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, essentially about the nature of Vestos. So interestingly enough, in Rabbi Yossi's model, he allows for a very, very, very heightened level of Veses Kavua, to the point that Lamaisa, if she normally gets her period on the 20th day of the month, the 6th hour of the day, Rabbi Yossi will say she only needs to be Choshesh for the 6th hour of the day. All right, so she could be with her husband before the 6th hour. Once the 6th hour passes, Lamaisa, again, there's no issue of Nidus. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Even if a woman is so regular, still we give her the Ona. When I say give her the Ona, meaning we assume that Rabbi Yossi, even if a woman is regular, see on the same time, in the same day, times change. Therefore, we'll say that if she normally sees on the 20th, on the sixth hour of the 20th day, so the Maisa, again, the owner of the day will be the owner that she expects to go ahead and become a Nida. Therefore, she can't be with her husband earlier in the day, or for that matter, later in the day as well. We give her that entire day as being the time that she expects her Nidos to come. And I'll also say that is indeed how we pass in Halacha the Maisa. I'll also stop over for today. We'll have to pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Shkoya. Thank you.